What happens to the Weinstein Company now that one of the brothers has been forced out? For Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Media tycoon Harvey Weinstein is now out at the movie studio with his name on it. This after the New York Times published details on 8 settlements for sexual harassment over the years, plus accounts of other alleged gross behavior. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman with more on what's left at the company.
David, the Weinstein Company is really the Weinsteins. Harvey, now fired, and his brother Bob own 42% of the privately held indie film studio. And that company is in corporate crisis mode now. 3 prominent board members quit on Friday. They reportedly were blindsided by the New York Times expose of Harvey's sexual harassment settlements, which were private, not under company financial oversight. There have also long been rumors of tensions between the Weinstein brothers. But brother Bob and another senior exec now run the place without Harvey, who leaves with tremendous legal and reputational baggage, but also still an incredible Hollywood Rolodex and a host of Oscar statuettes. The studio hasn't been making hits like it used to after the Weinsteins sold Miramax to Disney and left to form their own company in 2005. They had a string of hits, but last year their films grossed just $65 million. And brother Bob, by the way, his thing is low budget horror films, not exactly high art, high profile fare of the departed Harvey.
All right, Mitchell, thank you. Markets, Columbus Day, bond market is closed, stocks are open. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.2%. On the U.S. Virgin Islands, getting people back to work after 2 hurricanes means first getting their kids back to school starting today, Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Some public schools on St. Thomas and St. John will be back in class Tuesday. Kiva Muller with the Virgin Islands Department of Education says that's because the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is on a special mission to open as many schools as possible.
They've begun and will continue to install generators, repair on the schools that had roof damages. They made sure that the schools had some kind of running water.
But some school buildings are a loss, forcing students onto combined campuses. On St. Croix, schools will begin opening next week. Private schools like the Peter Gruber International School on St. Thomas were able to open sooner. School director Gloria Zakers says things aren't back to normal yet.
No power, no water, no internet, and we have about 50% of our original enrollment for the year.
Enrollment declines are expected across the islands. Local school officials are racing to open schools before more families leave. As recovery continues, school districts in New York and Florida are preparing for an influx of students. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Now, what's the opposite of a Cadillac health plan for the creme de la creme? The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Trump administration this week could lift restrictions on bare bones, some say cheapo plans. The administration will argue it's about choice and competition. Experts will look to see if this might divide the health insurance market into slim insurance for healthier younger people and more expensive plans for older people with medical issues. Now to an ocean dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico, which scientists say has grown to its largest size ever recorded. It's an area of reduced ocean life as big as the state of New Jersey. Pollution from agriculture is a big driver of this, as Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
The Mississippi River starts in northern Minnesota and travels all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. Rivers and streams across a huge swath of middle America drain into it. So do the nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus, which run off of farm fields.
These nutrients are coming from 12 main states, Minnesota being one of them.
Dave Wall is a research scientist in the Watershed Division of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. He says when those nutrients eventually reach the Gulf of Mexico, they feed the growth of algae. The algae's decomposition uses up oxygen in the water.
And in these areas, the oxygen is reduced to a point where often the aquatic life either dies or has to swim away to an area where there is oxygen.
That affects Gulf industries like shrimping. Minnesota is trying to limit nutrient runoff from farms. There are some new regulations, but a lot of the efforts are voluntary from farmers like the Petersons in southern Minnesota.
I feel like I'm in a jungle.
I'm walking through a dense stand of corn with farmer Sam Peterson. The plants tower above us at 8 feet, their growth fueled in part by nitrogen fertilizer. But Peterson's farm is actually using less fertilizer than it used to by testing the soil to see where it's really needed instead of doing blanket applications.
It works out really well because you're putting it, applying it where you need it, and definitely reduces the total amount of nitrogen you're putting down on the farm.
Peterson also got a grant to study different methods of limiting nitrogen use. He's hoping to show other farmers how they can save money on fertilizer. But he's also thinking about shrimpers in the Gulf, who, he says, farm the sea.
So I kind of feel for those types of people. I know that the Gulf creates a lot of jobs, and it's going to hurt our economy if that's not there.
But changing up their farming practices requires upfront investment for producers.
You know, I think if they could do it and still be profitable, they would be doing it.
Don Scavia is a natural resources and environment expert at the University of Michigan. He thinks the U.S. should pay farmers to help reduce the phosphorus and nitrogen flowing into the Mississippi.
And so actually pay for the environmental outcome.
He says, let farmers choose how they want to tackle the problem, using less fertilizer, planting cover crops, or other methods. In Northfield, Minnesota, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
We're also tracking the Nobel Prize in Economics announced this morning. It's another win for behavioral economics. The University of Chicago's Richard Thaler put psychology to work in understanding how real humans make their choices. You've heard Thaler's wisdom on Marketplace over the years. If you miss our coverage on the air, it'll be in our podcast soon. I want to say Dr. Thaler is very psyched about economics. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.